Hello, welcome to this week's P&E chat. Dave Seddon, back after a week away, and Adam Lord talking through all things P&E. At a not don't readjust your clocks. I know the clocks did change at the weekend, and it's not that why we've done that. It's just thought we'd try lunchtime.
Yeah. 1 hour
though, Dave. Well, that was just a gag. Or an attempt one, anyway. So
bad one, that one.
Yeah, really poor. Really poor. Sorry. Can we start again?
Yeah.
Edit, cut. Yeah, taking through all things at Preston North End as ever on Thursday, just at the slightly earlier time. Looking back at what is now a 5-game unbeaten run, and ahead to the nice little short hop to Ipswich on Saturday.
Camel riding half hour.
Sort of look of the Ipswich game has completely changed, hasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. They've changed manager. It was Paul Hurst there, who lasted, 5 months since he came from Shrewsbury in the summer. They've put Paul Lambert in charge now. Lambert watched last week's game at Millwall from the stand, as new managers often do, don't they? Come in, have a watching brief. The other caretaker manager, Brian Clugg, was it, in charge. This is Lambert's first game in charge of Ipswich. He's been in his first games in charge of both Blackburn in 2015 and Wolves in 2016 were both against North End. So that's a bit of a hat trick for him, isn't it, with this one? And it shows that he's obviously a manager who teams tend to turn to mid season at the moment, doesn't it, to try and turn the fortune around when you consider he went to Stoke as well last season, you know, in the Premier League. So
questions, comments on anything and everything as ever, get them in. We will be led by you this week. Plenty to discuss as ever. Andy Hall says hello. Hello to Andy.
Hello, Nick.
And Malk Singleton. We haven't heard you from a while, Malk. You used to be a regular. Ipswich P&E goals galore.
Maybe not.
Yeah, you don't know, do you think? The two games in recent weeks where North End are coming against sides sort of in and around them. Rotherham, which I know you were absent for, but was not a classic.
No.
Of a scrap against them. And Hull, which you were present for, was not
it's
a classic.
So it might be, you know, if they could... they're just going after... It might be a case you have to go and scrap it out. You've no idea how Paul Lambert's going to approach this one, can you? Obviously, he's going to be trying to get these players up. You're playing for the futures here. So they're going to be sort of riled up that way. Don't know if he's had time in 3 or 4 training sessions to impose his style of play on them or whatnot. But I think, you know, it will be a bit of a battle. I don't know if there'll be too many goals in it, to be honest. You know, obviously North End have been, you know, 4 or 5 scorers in the division and whatnot. And Ipswich, obviously, because of bottom, they have leaked a few. But it might just be one of these games which is a bit of a scrap, a bit nervy, you know. And I can't see it being a 3-3 myself, but you never know.
I think Alex Neil's expecting a scrap, isn't he?
And he pointed out after the Rotherham game to you, didn't he, that probably North End sometimes aren't at the best when they really need to scrap. You know, not that they're up for the battle, but it's about learning to pick those second balls up, isn't it? And sort of, you know, I'm not saying physical, put your elbows in or anything like that, but just sort of compete, try and anticipate where that ball's going to drop, you know, after the first contact and whatnot. So, it could just be a case North End might have to, if they can sort of make a decent start, first 10, 15 minutes, you know, just quieten the home ground. You think, you know, like Ipswich, they get a decent home, you know, home attendance. They're going to be up for it with a new manager there. So, you know, if North End could just sort of take that sting out of the game and sort of start well, knock it around and build into it from there.
Two former Norwich managers, isn't it?
Strange
dynamic, isn't it?
Two former Norwich managers who got Norwich promoted as well. Lambert got Norwich promoted twice, Neil did, up to the Premier League. Probably Neil will get booed to death on the touchline because he's an ex-Norwich manager. Yeah, Lambert's still alongside him, got that club back-to-back promotions from League One through to the Premier League. He'll be getting applauded.
it's an odd one. Is there a situation there where, I mean, obviously not on the ground down there, but is there a situation whereby Lambert will have to do more than another manager to win a few over?
He might do. I watched his unveiling press conference on... you know, on the video during the week, you know, just see if he mentioned North End at all in that. But and the first set of questions to him was about his link with Norwich and can you take that to be manager of Ipswich, you know, being the local rivals down there. And he was at pains to point out, I think he left Norwich 7 years ago or something like that. So he was trying to sort of put a little bit of a distance, not obliterate it from history or anything like that, but, you know, just sort of put some distance in it. But I suppose, he might have to, you know, like do slightly better, you know, just to win. There'd be an element of fans, I suppose, who might never take to him. I don't know.
What's the theory about Malk Singleton points to North End's defensive record being a concern going down there on Saturday?
Yeah.
It feels like some balance is getting back. I mean, Brentford last Wednesday night was conceded 3 goals.
Mm.
One was an absolute screamer from Sergio Canos.
Yeah.
One took at least one deflection, potentially two.
Yeah.
And then the third one is from a corner, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
But they weren't wide open, if that makes sense.
No, that's,
and Rotherham again on Saturday was a bit more cagey.
Yeah.
Feels like many things heading in the right direction on that front.
Yeah. But still, you know, it's still that consistency of selection at the moment. He's, you know, Alex Neil's chopped and changed his team, particularly that sort of back four or the back five, whatever he tends to choose. Maybe settled a bit more on Huntington and Davis at the moment. I think he's trying to get Tom Clark in that team whenever he can. And if that means playing him at right back like he did last week against Rotherham, he got him in there instead of Darnell Fisher, who I believe didn't have his Rolls-Royce game against Brentford.
No.
And as he said a few times when he's played Clark at right back, he's not your typical right back in the, you know, dealing with a speedy winger, but he's in there almost to be another body in the box, isn't it? If he thinks the team are going to be slinging the ball into the box quite a lot and winning a lot of set pieces, he wants an extra defender, you know, sort of centre defender in there, albeit playing it right back to sort of get his head on it. And but it'll just be nice to see some defence get a bit of a run at the moment.
Yeah, asked Alex Neil about the decision to switch his right back on Saturday. Clark got some stick from the Terraces. He's had a fair bit this year.
Yeah.
Neil said basically, in terms of his defensive duties, he was there to get his head on the ball.
Yeah.
And even Ben Davis said post-match, the amount of balls that came into the box and set pieces, and it was Clark who got his head in his first.
Mm-hmm.
Great. The problem came then, excuse me, when North End chasing the game, he's overlapping.
Yeah, you've not got that attacking outlet, have you?
He arrived on the right-hand side of the penalty area a couple of times, and with all due respect to Clark, he looked a bit lost. Because it ain't his game.
No, it's not, no.
It ain't his game at all.
It's not Darnell Fisher's, to be honest, though, is it? Really?
No.
You know, neither of them are sort of... Fisher probably a bit more. He's not exactly a sort of, at times, he's not a bombing on right-back, is he, really?
No. Questions, comments, keep them coming. Team selection, predictions. Yeah, let's get an early prediction in for Saturday.
I think with North End, they're going to win. They will win the game.
Surprise.
They will win the game 2-0. 2-0. 2-0. 2-0.
So you've gone for a third clean sheet of the season?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I think so. I'd probably be totally wrong, but you know.
Elsewhere in terms of team selection, I'm not sure I can see it being vastly different to what we saw on Wednesday and then on Saturday.
No, there's no reason to change it, is there? You know, unless they pick up a knock or two in training, which, according to Alex Neil yesterday, they haven't done so far. So you'd think so. You know, Nemec has been playing well, hasn't he, up front without a goal. His teammates are willing to score, so I think they'll probably stick with Nemec. Barkhuizen has been chipping in with a few recently to keep Robinson in there. He likes the Brown, DJ and Pearson axis in midfield. So, I'd be tempted to leave it pretty similar, to be fair. So there's always a call. Do you put Sean Maguire in at some point? But, you know, I know he got a start at Hull the other week, but that was sort of needs must, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably bringing Maguire off the bench at the moment is probably the better policy, I would think.
Yeah, Alex Neil said on Saturday, that's about Maguire, and he said the difficulty is he would play him naturally through the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he has more options through the middle at the moment, really, than does out wide.
Brandon
Barker had a groin problem, should be okay for Saturday. So the place to bring him on was out wide. But it's hard to work for Shawnee out there as well. Shawnee admitted himself at Hull. He said he gets for a lot more work than you do as a number nine. So
I think sometimes, you know, if you're going to play Shawnee wide, when he did it at the start of last season with Hugill in the team, he often came in from the left-hand side, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's a right-footed player. Cutting in onto his right foot from the left just seemed a sort of bit more natural to come inside and join up with Hugill in the middle. Whereas you're right-footed, you're out on the right wing, it's a bit more going towards taking your fullback on the outside rather than cutting inside. So, you know, if that's something that you might consider, you might be able to use Sean Maguire out wide when the time's right. But having coming inside, you know, the coming in from the left-hand side to sort of move more into the middle, you know, with whoever plays up there.
We sort of had a phase last season, didn't we, post-Pugel, where Maguire and Robinson basically played where they wanted, didn't
yeah,
they? They swapped to regularity, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, that was, March onwards when we got Maguire back, yeah.
Might be something we see, but at the moment,
yeah.
Getting maybe not his best game on Saturday, not his count game, but Lucas Nemeth is difficult to drop at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
He's a goal away from getting on, like, you know.
Oh, he's a goal away from completing yeah. it. What is a very promising start.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Sam Thomas, you've asked about Ipswich. If you want to hang on, we'll go back to Ipswich in a minute. Dave has mentioned two magic words on the back page of today's paper, and it's on the website if you want to read it as well. Transfer
window. Yeah.
2 months today.
2 months today. We'll be opening in the box, won't we?
Ian sets up a big style yellow ticker sort of for us, you know, Sky Sports News countdown clock. You know, hours and days to go. Right, I'll just fire a few through comments and I'll let you address them as one. Greg Easton, hi Greg. Hi chaps. Do you think Alex will get a settled back four or will he have to go shopping? And Steve Parkinson said, hi guys, do you think we need another right back in the next window? Another right back, yes, I think.
Yeah,
so.
I would say so.
Your issue before Darnell Fisher's form is probably Callum Woods.
Woods, yeah. We've not seen him since that Morecambe game, haven't we?
No,
first
they're
game
short
of the
there.
Season.
They are
yeah.
short there.
Yeah. You're playing... You've got Darnell Fisher there who hasn't hit the heights of last season. His cover at the moment is playing Tom Clark, who's predominantly a centre-half.
Playing
out
a secondary
there.
Position, isn't he?
Yeah.
Effectively.
And then at times, you've had Alan Brown there a couple of times, you know, during matches, you know, he's dropped into that role when they've made substitutions. So, I would not be surprised if they were looking at a right back. If the goals carry on being conceded, you've got to have a look maybe at an option of another centre-half. You know, if something's not working with what you got, you've got to... Have a look at that.
Well,
so
Darren Parkinson says the difference this season is the defence.
Yeah, it is.
Very
yeah.
shaky, not a settled
form. It's totally different to last season. Not last season, it was a solid defence, and it was wherever the goal's coming from. It was all, if we were winning, it was twos and ones. Yeah. Now they're knocking in fours and threes, but at the other end. And it is sometimes just a balance of the side, not necessarily, you know, like they're obviously pushing on a lot more. But, you know, they're leaving themselves out a little bit exposed.
Brentford was 3-0 up inside 23 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Took their chances and that was the difference to what it was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But then speaking to Ben Pearson after the day after, he admitted that the back of your mind, when it gets to 3-1, when it gets to 4-2, you're thinking, not again, you know, there's that aspect. On the back four, if you think about it, the goalkeeper's changed already this season.
Yeah.
Granted, Chris Maxwell looks to be nailing that down fairly definitively. Mm-hmm. As you say, sort of Fisher, despite doubts about his arrivals, one of the revelations of last season, struggling.
Yeah.
Ben Davies admitted on Saturday that he didn't think he'd been playing well enough and he's finding his form.
Yeah.
Next to him is, at the moment, I think Davies is probably number one in that queue, but then it's, well, you don't know from game to game who's going to play next to him.
Yeah.
And then Andrew Hughes has been a bit up and down.
He has.
Josh Hill probably unlucky not to have played a few more games.
I thought so, yeah. I thought Hughes started the first three or four games. I thought he did really well. I thought he looked a real fine, but just think he averaged out a little bit, you know, maybe getting used to the division. And I just wonder sometimes. I wouldn't maybe not change it quite at the moment. You know, we're talking about consistency and selection here, and then in the next breath we're talking about should we be changing him or him. But Josh Earle has got to be, you know, in consideration. He's on the bench every game, isn't he? You know, so he's in and around the squad, and it's probably just a case of him waiting for a chance. But you got to say at some time, maybe they'll have a look at a slightly different dynamic there and go for him.
Well, Alex Neil said on Saturday, said he had four changes down.
Yeah.
Partly due to Wednesday to Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, how many times does he use that word? Either about his team's form or his selection about consistency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He then woke up that morning and went, no.
I just want
to change my right back, but that'll do.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, he's saying, catch 22 now, we're in the call.
Do you go for consistency? Do you go for freshness? Sometimes Wednesday, Saturday is not a big turnaround, is it? They play Wednesday night, they're in Thursday. Whoever started that game on Wednesday night doesn't train on a Thursday. They just do some recovery work, don't they? And then really Friday is the only day they've got to prepare, you know, and for the game after. So, you know, maybe Tuesday, Saturday's a bit, you know, gives you that extra 24 hours, doesn't it, you know, which is key. But just, you know, that very quick change away. And sometimes I think you'd be you know, you excuse making quite a few changes just to keep it fresh. You know, freshness could take you quite a distance over the foot.
Just on your transfer window piece today, it meant Alex Neil pretty honestly says it's been well documented that we missed out on a couple of targets in key areas.
Yeah.
He is obviously talking about a
target man.
Targeting more players than one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That will not go away, will it?
No, that has not changed.
He mentioned it again on Saturday that in the game against Rotherham he would have liked to bring on a tall striker to stick the ball to. Do you think that remains sort of priority one?
I think they will definitely. Even though they have been scoring goals, I just think it might ridiculously having a target man up there might help them defensively as well. Just, you know, they've got clear the lines a lot quicker rather than having to sort of play it through midfield. Just having the option every now and then of being able to sort of launch it a little bit and clear your lines, knowing that it's not going to be coming straight back at you. So the reason I just spoke to Alex Neil on yesterday's conference about the window, just to say how did he approach it, when do you start turning your attention to it, and he just said it was an ongoing process. He said you do not switch off on your recruitment side of things. You know, one window shuts, you don't suddenly stop going to matches. Some clubs do, but others, you know, it's just an ongoing thing, getting out to see the game. He name-checked himself. He went to see AFC Farden Gateshead on Tuesday. I don't think specifically to watch anyone, but he just wants... Alex Neil's one of these sort of students of the game. He just wants to get out and see as much football at different levels as possible, you know. And he said you go to a match sometimes with absolutely no expectation of watching a player, but someone might just catch your eye. And he said if you've not gone out to watch it, that opportunity will, you know, it will never come. So get out there, have a look what's out there. Probably 9 times out of 10 games are going to go to will not result in them, you know, seeing a player in that game and signing them, you know. But there's that other sort of opportunity to look. Oh, right, he was all right. Quite like to have a look at him.
It's a knowledge base, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we'll go and have another look at him the week after or whatever. So. I believe it was a bit of a gathering at AFC Fylde. I think David Moyes was there as well. So, you know, it must be the in place to go on a Tuesday night. AFC Fylde and Gateshead, yeah.
They are ones to watch, certainly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gunning towards, well, what will be obviously first season in the Football League. It'll be quite a story down there.
More matches you get out to as well. You know, you network as well, don't you? I'm sure sort of scouts talk to each other, managers talk to each other. So that can all, you know... It's all part of the process.
Well, I would imagine that if they've said hello to... Well, if they had the friendly there anyway, so it's a clear relationship.
Yeah.
But the more people you say hello to at clubs, if you do, then ring them up and go, I've had him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we did this, we did that, didn't we? So they will know each other well. At the risk of going over old ground, I'm going to. Darren Parkinson, we left the Hugel situation too long, in my opinion. We all knew he was going and should have had a replacement in place. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They will say they got...
The deal itself happened very, very quickly.
They got a different type of striker in to start with, Louis Malt, who they hope will be a replacement, but I think that soon became clear they were totally sort of different types, weren't they? Mm. They got someone else in to play up front, numbers-wise, one for one, but he was a totally different kind of player, you know. So, so they were basically... When was it? Reading came in for Hugill, didn't they? Last summer, not the summer, the summer before, turned that one down because he couldn't find a replacement. And so basically, now they've been looking at a Hugo replacement for nigh on 18 months.
Yeah, which
is a long one.
Yeah, I was going to say, perhaps doesn't reflect well to when you put it in those terms.
Yeah.
But again, we were talking about defenders at the start, but I think that certainly will be the one to watch, one to watch come January. Sam Thomas, instead of get back to you, I hope you're still watching. Wish Ipswich had kept Hurst for this weekend so we could have got another manager sacked and kept the tally
that's
going.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, a bit of a trend there, isn't it?
Yeah, they are sort of North End do have a record with that, don't they?
Yeah. Lose to Preston, pull the trigger.
Yeah.
How dare they lose to Preston? That's it. Get rid of him. Off of his head.
Alex Neil was pretty honest about Mick McCarthy today, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Not today, yesterday. Sorry. His press conference said...
Get ahead of yourself or behind yourself.
Yeah, I don't know what day it is, mate. he said... He called some of the abuse Mick had got frightening.
Yeah.
Well, the killer phrase was basically that the fans had got rid of him, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he thought the board were okay with the stability. And
yeah.
It's I'm better the devil you know sometimes.
He'd had what McCarthy had there, 5.5 years, something like that. And I suppose... with McCarthy, he's that kind of figure, isn't he? Sort of a big, gruff, sort of big rough Yorkshireman whose football sort of almost reflects him, you know. And as, obviously, he spoke his mind, and so I don't think the Ipswich fans, section of the Ipswich fans, like that. It seemed to be quite toxic towards the end. And I think it was very. You hear managers going saying it was a mutual consent thing when a lot of the time they've been sacked. Yeah. But I do think with McCarthy and Ipswich, it was really a very much a mutual thing. Sort of McCarthy's there going, I just can't stand any more of this, and Ipswich are probably thinking, you know what, good idea. And they went down a totally different road. They went for the young manager who'd done well in League One with Shrewsbury, took them to the playoffs, just fell a little bit short there. And then their recruitment over the summer, a little bit like North End's really, you know, they dipped down into League One and League Two for quite a lot of the signings, done a little smattering of loan business with Premier League clubs as well. But clearly hasn't worked. It hasn't worked there. You know, one win in 15 was one win in 14 before Hurst went. Just wasn't working for him, and you know it might have started to turn around. Who knows? But Ipswich obviously thought they couldn't take the risk, and so now I'm not saying they've got a McCarthy stroke too in Paul Lambert, but they've gone for the experienced head, haven't they?
Well, a bit more pragmatism.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sort of. You know, the older head, the 49-year-old manager, 8 or 9 clubs under his belt already, seen there, been it, done it, give him a bit of stability, give him a bit of know-how to try and climb away. So I'm not saying they've reverted to type, but they've strayed not too far back to it anyway.
I honestly, it's a shame, isn't it? Because as somebody who covered the lower leagues and when both fans of the Football League, you want these lower league managers to succeed, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
There's always this claim about foreign owners bringing in foreign coaches or the old head. But, you know, why do all the old heads always get the same job?
Yeah.
Because chairman feel they can rely on them.
They can.
Sometimes
they can,
take a chance. And if it goes wrong,
if
it goes wrong for Ipswich, the risk is too great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reality. That they could not. It gets to the stage where they're like, well, we can't afford to be cut adrift.
Yeah.
We have to act. And well, there's other things going on behind the scenes that clear it.
No, obviously, they cut a bit of the budget. I think they cut the budget there, haven't they, as well? So they wanted a manager who was clearly happy to sort of have a look at players from League One and League Two. A couple of Shrewsbury players followed him there, didn't they? And signed two of the Accrington Stanley players, signed Gwyn Edwards from Peterborough, who was a teammate of Andrew Hughes last season, so they might be up against each other on Saturday. So, but those managers, you know, they've obviously saw how Paul Hurst will work that market, and it's a nice model to think about, but in practical terms, it hasn't quite worked.
No, not at all. And then, say, a new era begins on Saturday and see how it goes. Mm. Dave Nelson, good to hear you on, Dave. Mm-hmm. Question about the recruitment. My answer would be a mix, Dave. Mm. I'll see what Dave thinks. Do you think it will be some experienced players brought in or more on the younger side?
Bit of both again. You know, I think they have got the model, haven't they, of what they have. So they're going to stick largely to that. But a little bit of experience, I don't, especially at the back, wouldn't go amiss for me.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention this before we finish. Obviously, the horrible news from Leicester at the weekend touched Paul Gallagher in particular.
Yeah, former Leicester player.
On the books for 6 years, obviously spent quite a lot of time that out on loan, but clear from, he put something on social media in the week, he's done an interview with North End, it's been released today, makes it clear that, like many, he had a very close relationship with the man, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he gave Gallagher his, you know, his wife did quite a bit of work for charity, and the owner made a very, very big donation to that cause, you know. And I just got the impression from people you talked to, you know, who knew the Leicester owner, he was beyond the owner of a football club. He was trying to sort of bring the whole community together.
Hospitals,
universities, you know, charitable causes. There was that... that terrible explosion in Leicester, was it earlier this year, where the explosion above the shops?
And, yeah.
And I know there was a gentleman who lost a couple of relatives in that, and the Leicester owner apparently was, you know, sort of got to know him, you know, was helping him with his grief, you know, from that. And obviously now, obviously he's lost his life in such tragic circumstances as well, yeah. So it was... Saturday was not a, you know, that was an awful event. 5 people losing their lives, leaving a football ground. It's horrible. And then earlier in the day, you know, Glenn Hoddle having a very serious heart attack, you know, in the TV studios. Fortunately, hopefully he's on the road to recovery now. But it was, I think there was an elderly fan died at Brighton's game, after Brighton's game. So it was a bit of a dark day, you know. Yeah. Sometimes puts football into perspective. You know, we all leave a game, you know, tutting and cursing sometimes on top of the world or whatever. But you know, things like that bring it back down to a level, doesn't it? So
I do indeed. Wanted to mark that because of all the people to speak on that, I think you and I know Gally.
Yeah.
Classy words from a classy bloke.
Yeah, he is. Somebody heartfelt as well. Very important. They're not just words,
no,
are they?
No, very important to a city.
Yeah.
James Rice, moving along, says, hi guys, a bit early today. We do try and flag it. Various reasons. We thought we'd try lunchtime. Mm-hmm. 3 points Saturday, let's hope indeed. I will end by saying, as I do, I usually say, sort of, see all of those you make, all those of you making the trip. Mm. Well done to those of you making the trip.
It's a trip and a half, isn't it? Yeah.
Why?
It's not an easy
Can
one.
We not build a motorway anyway.
I know, yeah. You only get the motorway as far as the M6, don't you? And then it's just like that A14.
It's A14.
Goes on forever, doesn't it?
Just go off. Some wonderful place names.
Yeah.
I think I'll be driving that part of the leg, so I might get said to tweet a few of you. So some wonderful place names along the way.
But I think, was it the early in the week, about 300 tickets pre-sold? As the week goes on, maybe we'll get 400 or 500 there.
Same, I guess. Yeah. It's 500, I thought, when we saw that number. But it is a heck of a trip. Yeah. Numbers, obviously, and it goes without saying, we'll lift slightly with a recent run of form, which is good to see.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, if you are doing Ipswich and then you are doing Bristol City,
yeah,
I take my hat off to you, because that is
two big trips, isn't
that
it?
That is two big trips indeed. But
you need the international break to recover from that, I think.
Yeah,
for your wallet to recover as well, I think.
But, two games you look at, especially with the game down at Bristol City, which we'll touch on next week, you think, a couple of good results, very attainable, and things look...
Stay unbeaten in those, you're going into an international break, 7 games unbeaten between the two breaks, aren't you?
Because it's worth mentioning, this is just to finish, not on the downer, but it's still 2 points to the bottom three, which tells you how poor that start was.
Yeah.
You know,
still,
Alex Neil, speaking to you, there's no illusions about how much work is still left to do, you know.
So. But then you look at how, above them, how much that division is bunching up.
Mm.
Three wins, take a couple of draws out of the equation, turn a couple of those draws into wins. If you can put 3 or 4 wins together, you'll shoot up that table, because it's just so concertinaed. But at the moment, it's taking those steps away from the bottom four, bottom five, isn't it? And just sort of, you know, playing a little bit of catch up with that group above them. But if you can play a little bit of catch up and then get yourself on, you know, keep going on a roll, there is progress to be made.
Progress, that's the word.
Progress, yeah.
Hopefully that continues at Portman Road. As I say, well done to anybody making that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you'll be rewarded with a thing.
Nice ground down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proper club.
Yeah, good history of it. You know, they've got statues outside of, you know, the grapes who have been there. So, no, it's a good feel of a club when you go, I tend to find.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it. Mm. Hopefully a good game. That's what we're expecting, certainly, with a different dynamic with the new manager. But
yeah,
we still we go.
3 points, what I want.
Indeed. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.
Hello and welcome to this week's P&E chat. Dave Seddon and Adam Lord as ever, Thursday afternoon, back at the usual time. Slightly different surroundings.
Yeah, new room this one.
Yeah, well, booted the edge throughout the office, so we didn't have the riff-raff in the background.
It's a revolution.
Feet on the desk, job. We did think about not doing it, not a lot to talk about.
No.
No midfield was going in goal, nothing along those lines.
There was an online outcry. There was a poll.
There's a poll, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say back by popular demand, but that might be a stretch. we always start by looking back over the weekend, and let's be brutally honest, it was 24th against 20th for 75 minutes, and then Paul Gallagher came off the bench.
Yeah, just lit it up. It was just a standard championship scrap, wasn't it, really, for 3 quarters of the game at Ipswich. I think it was a poor game, wasn't it, really? Ipswich had taken the lead just on half time, and then obviously had the shenanigans with Chris Maxwell getting the second yellow and a red card. Off he went, all the subs had been made, and so hands up who wants to go in nets. Alex Neil said, what about Louis Malt? And Paul Gallagher put his hand up and said, no, I'll go in gaffer. And lo and behold, we had the story. Paul Gallagher puts the spare goalkeeper shirt on, makes a great save, which his teammates were all saying it was one for the cameras. It's a bit hot on him, but he it was one all the time. He keeps a clean sheet. He was in nets with injury time for, I think they played more than 8 minutes of injury time in the end. So kept a clean sheet, well protected by his defence, and he was the story. You know, for, we forgot the first 70 minutes of that match, and you know, we forget as well that he'd come off the bench, scored his first touch from a free kick, and we saw him in the yellow shirt for 2 minutes, and then lo and behold, you know, for the rest of it, he's wearing the green shirt, isn't he? So.
It was crackers. We got a couple. We will come on to it. We got a couple of comments, Paul. More on Sunday into Monday. We got a couple of comments saying, like, you know, move on from Gallagher. It wasn't much.
Gallagher can't move on from a goalkeeper from a midfielder who's 34, going in goals and keeping a clean sheet. My word! Some people are so boring, aren't they? Keep the pot bubbling.
From our point of view, apart from as you may have gathered, the Portman Road Wi-Fi. It was a dream, sort of, as somebody covering it, you know. Yeah.
That Portman Road Wi-Fi was slower than me with a hangover on a Sunday morning, I tell you. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. So apologies if our tweets and blog didn't exactly fly quicker than Galley through the air making a save, you know. So
yeah, on the save. Questions, comments, I'll throw it in. I was like, questions, comments, anything, everything. We'll start with Galley and then we'll work our
but
way
we're
through
not throwing it
topics.
Forward yet. We're sticking with Galley
sticking
for a bit,
aren't we? Dave Nelson chips in with Galley, Scotland's number one. Yeah, he's got what, solitary international cap as a midfielder forward. So
the biggest Blackburn accent we've ever heard.
He's Scottish
as I am, I think.
His dad's Scottish.
There is
a Scottish freelance reporter we always see when we go down there, doesn't he? He covers the East Anglia beat, doesn't he? And he turned around to us afterwards and said, "Why is he not Scottish? I thought he would be Scottish." I'm like, no, he's from the Chambers Estate in Blackburn. Yeah. So he's on the save. Let's talk about the save. Mm-hmm. Straight at him, but he...
Above him.
Mm. Above him, and yeah, I mean...
But he's a midfielder in goal. You know, like, yeah, had Chris Maxwell made that one, had Declan Rudd made that one, fair enough, it's a standard save. It'd been made at the other end by the Ipswich goalkeeper, who I won't try and pronounce.
Bartosz Bielkowski. Yeah,
that's a... You're showing off today, aren't you? Decent save, standard save, but this is a midfielder going in goal. Sort of last played in goal playing for Blackburn Eagles when he was like 14 or something like that. So, no, credit's where it's due. It was a really good save. He said he didn't want to tip it over because Ipswich were quite strong on set piece, and I don't really think he fancied himself coming for crosses and things like that.
If I'm an Ipswich fan, I must admit, obviously it was Paul Lambert's first game in charge. They got a standing ovation, which tells me about a lot about how they've been this season. But they didn't test him enough.
No, they didn't, no. I've seen.
He had a couple of corners, and you just think, put the ball. The one thing he said that Jack Cudworth told him, the goalkeeping coach, when he came on, Cudworth's message to him was, "Don't come for anything.
Don't get involved with
Don't get involved
side,
with anything. You know, save it if it comes your way, but let the defenders know what's going
on.
They will do their
and
job."
Maybe that's where the expertise of a proper goalkeeper, you know, of a goalkeeper comes in. You know, I suppose I'm not taking anything away from it, you know, but I suppose we could all fling ourselves through the air and get our hand on something. But that decision of when to come for a cross, when you think you're going to come and get it.
There was one ball dropped into the 6-yard box where Paul Huntington's pretty much headed it in front of him.
Mm.
But they had a couple of corners and it was, I mean, obviously I don't want this to happen, you know, we were from a North End point of view, but the ball needs to go under his crossbar from their point of view.
Yeah, I've covered games before where...
I don't think teams know what to do. No, they seem to panic.
I remember in my days when I covered Wigan. Wigan had a game down at Port Vale, and the Port Vale goalkeeper had to come off. He got a bang on the head, and they didn't have a subkeeper, and they put an outfield lad in goal. And I don't think Wigan had a shot on goal in that last sort of similar time. And it does tend to happen, you know. All the will in the world, the game plan must be like just bomb forward and like, you know, have a dip from anywhere, you know, 25, 30 yards, just test the keeper. But I don't know. I don't know, psychological thing or what, but sometimes you can find it difficult. It's not maybe as easy as it sounds.
They don't think about it. Dave Nelson, Gallagher is making long-term plans. Goal is play for longer than midfielders. He said that as he sat down in the press conference, didn't he?
I can play till I'm 40 now, he said.
Of all the people for it to happen to, Paul Gallagher was the one he wanted to sit in the press conference with. We had 10 minutes with him. He would have sat there for hours. Yeah. He was quite happy talking about it, wasn't
he? If he didn't have to get him fly the... Because he was flying the plane home, obviously.
Flew
the plane home, obviously, you know, because he did everything else that afternoon. I think he would have stayed for another half hour, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Mike Jones, on the game in general as well, must say that one thing which impressed me is the way Alex Neil, makes attacking substitutions. Yeah. And on this occasion, it proved to be very exciting. That was the problem Neil found himself in. That's why he wanted Malt to go in. He had so many attackers on the pitch, he wanted it to be one of them.
Four and a half strike. He had Maguire on the pitch, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
Nemecha.
He had Kellen Robinson on the pitch. He had Malt, you know, like absolute bombing on. But, he, you know, when Gallagher went in goal, the only centre midfielder he had on the pitch was Ben Pearson, and so Louis Mort ended up playing as emergency sitting midfielder and did very well.
It was lost. It was lost in all of it. But yeah. At one point, I turned to you, didn't I? And Mort came and did a bit of a crunching challenge on the touchline nearest to us in the big main stand, and just said to him, I said, he's putting a shift in there. He's getting about the pitch, you know, and it's. It was surreal. It was absolutely surreal.
Because we said about, you know, Neil making his substitutions. He made three very attacking substitutions. He made them all by the 71st minute, which it's not that late in the day. When you're chasing 1-0 away from home, you want to be throwing subs on, you know, like, you know, I did see one or two people questioning should he have made all his subs by then. But
he does.
Know, yeah,
it's
but
his
why
way.
Not? Yeah.
It's his way.
You want subs to make an impact and you don't tend
it's
to.
Way.
It's
way.
I don't. 5 minutes. No.
He will always say, and he said this to us recently, even with the way he's, we're talking about balance, haven't we, chasing games and due cautious, or you know, with the way the results have gone. But he's always said, I'll try and win a game.
Yeah. And if you're going to chase a game, there's no point just doing like for like. If you've got a 4-2-3-1 out there, and that 4-2-3-1 hasn't quite been working, you want to try something a little bit different. So you put that extra attacker on, don't you? And, you know, move a few people around. So, yeah, they were attacking substitutes. As it was, it did leave them, you know, it did leave them short of options, obviously. But you don't pencil into account that Chris Maxwell was going to get sent off, didn't
even you? If a fullback or something had been sent off, Ben Pearson would have dropped back. For that to happen was, listen, it's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Hi to Stephen O'Halloran and others who are joining us. Questions, comments on anything and everything. I'm interested in people's opinion on this. Alex Neil was quite careful what he said on Saturday. Today he was a bit more critical of Chris Maxwell.
Yeah.
So we had the press conference there ahead of
restrictions. For the second one.
Yeah. The first one, I think the general agreement is, as much of a mess of him and Josh Earle made of the situation, I won't absolve Earle of blame for the back pass was
not from the
hot.
Halfway line.
It was
well struck as well.
I think you help it down the line, don't even in hindsight.
You put it in the stand, don't you?
Which we have, and he doesn't, and it's like that. Maxwell may have nicked the ball for the first one, but the second one, whichever way you look at it, it's bonkers.
There's no need. I don't think in any circumstances there's probably no need for him to come flying out what it is. That, you know, he's a sweeper keeper, he likes to be involved, he likes to come out of his box. But I think he was being far too sort of ambitious with that one. And as well, what you have to factor in, if you're on a yellow card, however probably a little bit harsh for what the first yellow card was, that had gone. He had the yellow card to his name, couldn't do anything about it. You've got to be thinking, I'm going to get pulled up again. You know, another foul like that. If this goes wrong, I could be getting sent off here. You've got to have that in your mind. And unfortunately, he was a little bit rash and reckless there. So.
Right, it's his game, but there are lines, and
you've got it wrong. You've just got to manage yourself at times. I do think that the Preston defence works better with Maxwell. The way they create quite a high line, and I just think, you know, whatever you think of either of the North End's keepers, where the strengths or weaknesses are, just the way it fits, I just think Maxwell suits the North End defence slightly better in that he will come out and clear up behind him. He will be that sort of fifth defender at times, you know. Unfortunately, on this occasion, it didn't quite, you know, it sort of went against him.
Just to clarify, there is a roundup of the press conference on the website, and I will read from that for you, for Chris Maxwell. Neil said this morning, the second booking's a ridiculous one, really. Quite a strong word. I don't think Maxi should find himself in that position. He's nearly at the touchline, which is what Dave said. Even then, I'm not sure how much of a free kick is. It does look soft, and the point has been made about if he's an outfield player, maybe he doesn't get booked. But as you say, the bottom line of this is, it's daft even when he's not on a booking, and when he's on a booking, it's not good. It's not good from Chris, and I think he will accept that. The debate now,
Who plays?
Well, I must admit, we turned up at the press. I'm interested in people's opinions on this, so please do put your comments in, because we turned up at the press conference this morning expecting to mainly speak about Declan Rudd, and an attempt at rehabilitation for him. He's had a poor start to the season, so he's now got a chance, effectively, you know, to put in a good performance. But Alex Neil turned it straight away into, listen, there's Michael Crowe.
As well,
away he just said, I've got a decision to make, was his phrase.
Yeah, and he Michael Crowe signed in the summer from Ipswich on a Bosman. This mysterious third-choice goalkeeper, isn't he? He got an injury in pre-season, quite early in pre-season, so he didn't play in any of the friendlies. I don't think he was fit until probably September-ish, something like that. So, and, you know, he was signed as a third-choice goalkeeper. Well, to put pressure on the other two, that was a pecking order. It was like Maxwell stroke Rudd all the way around, followed by Crowe. But he just said he's been training well. You know, when we spoke to Neil this morning at Springfield, he said, yeah, he's been training well, he's impressed us. He says his one problem he's had is that we've not been able to give him any game time because, you know, they don't have a reserve side at North End. The schedule recently of playing a lot of Saturday, Tuesday football means they've not been able to fit any bounce games in against another team. They have 11 sides between themselves within the squad, but it's that lack of game time, and maybe that lack of game time will just be what counts against him this weekend. If I had to put me in the last five at the moment, I'd probably say it would be Rudd playing on Saturday. But he's left the door ajar for Crow, hasn't he? You know, like, you know, if Crow's name was to appear on that team sheet on Saturday, it would now not be a surprise. It would not be an absolute stunner, you know. So
there are several theories here, and Alex Neil is known to sort of sometimes he'll put things in the press just to, you know, keep his players on toes. And I wonder whether he just, more than anything, he just wanted to acknowledge that Crow had done well.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it might have been disrespectful to Crow to say, yep, Rudd comes back in.
Yeah.
And Crow thinks, well, I've been training really hard here. I've been working really hard here to impress, and people are telling me I'm doing well. What more can I do? Yeah. You know, if he's just writing it off straight away. And let's be fair, we do not know.
Mm.
We do not know how Declan Rudd is.
No.
Because he had a horrible start to the season, let's be fair. He had a really bad one.
Yeah.
A couple of games before he got dropped, I think we turned to each other and said he looked shot confidence-wise. He needed pulling out for himself as much as for the team.
First couple of games of the season, he was fine. If you think about it, he made a really great save against QPR late in the game to keep it at 1-0. Saved the penalty down at Swansea. But then it just sort of unravelled a little bit towards...
Couldn't recover through September,
you know... The Bolton game, he conceded that soft one, didn't he? There was question marks against, is it Derby as well? You know, he might have done better with a couple of their goals, you know, and it just sort of unravelled for him, yeah. So,
I would say as well, if you're talking about if Crow does play, three goalkeepers used by November.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not an injury crisis, is it? You know, you've had effectively one goalkeeper unavailable for a game, and you're saying you're onto your third goalkeeper.
Yeah, it would be quite
it doesn't sound goal. Like a recipe for success today,
you want a bit more substance there, don't you?
More stability. Mike Jones, Rudd has to play. He started the season well and then had a poor spell, as you said. Maxwell did exactly the same last season and let Rudd back in. I would argue whoever plays on Saturday, his rush of blood to the head of side, Chris Maxwell, has done enough in the unbeaten run to come straight back in.
I would as well, yeah.
I would certainly. Darren Parkinson, to be fair to our goalies, they haven't had a settled back four. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Doesn't help.
Yeah, that's stats are there for that, aren't they? Yeah.
We might get another change again on next Saturday. There was a debate today. We've asked Alex Neil about Josh Earle and Andrew Hughes.
Yeah,
gets the nod. Hughes was a bit banged up by the sounds of it, wasn't he? A couple of niggles here.
Yeah,
and
he got shin splints and he had a bad back for the Ipswich game. So they put Josh in, yeah. So... it's whether you go back to Hughes or you stick with Earl for a few games, I don't know. So,
Earl looked like a player to me who needs to run a game.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's a young lad. I don't think youngsters being put in and out all the time.
Yeah.
They're not going to learn as quickly, are they? You know, they need to learn a little bit more. Need to run a game. But North End are in a position at the moment where, you know, I do think they need some stability to sort of, you know, get themselves up that table.
We're in a position here, though, where we're scratching our head every week, aren't we, about who's going to play?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's a suspension in goal.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Clark seems to depose Darnell Fisher for the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Fisher having got nowhere near the levels he was at last year.
And more for his sort of, rather than his full-back abilities, rather than his general defensive work, I think Neil likes having him in there.
I think it's when he's shipping him out of goals, he probably wanted his best defenders in the team, didn't he?
So and it worked last week at Ipswich. I thought he was very good at Ipswich.
Davis getting together like they did last year, slowly.
Neil said that last week. He made a point of saying that he thought those two were starting to come together a little bit more, as they were last year. For me, there's been too much shopping and changing at the back. I know it's tempting to do it when you're losing or, you know, not getting the results you want, but sometimes you've just got to go with it, nail it. You know, false four, they can have a few games, you know. So,
afternoon to Joe Cooper. Good to have you on, Joe.
Joe. Mm-hmm.
As you can probably gather by the comment, we know Joe. Good to have you on, Joe. Comments on the beard, Joe. The beard generally correlates to the amount of work I've done this week, so... you know.
It's not quite as easy top, is it, mate?
No,
you're not being that busy, are you?
Laziness? Potentially.
Debra isn't short of Santa, is it?
No, yeah, I'm warming up for Christmas. It does start to go a bit grey, actually, so not quite white at all.
Campaign for Adam to have a shave before Saturday.
Oh, will do. I might go for haircuts. Yeah. I might go full throat. Ian's the one off the walls tonight. He'll be the one in the mirror for the next hour.
I'm representing you boys.
You are. What was I going to say? It's completely thrown.
Later on. Yeah.
Plenty of debate about the team. What's your a team for Saturday then?
Yeah.
What would it be in the team? What do you think?
Well, I think he will go Rudd. Oh, might be wrong. I'd stick with Clark at right back. I'd stick with Huntington and Davis. I think I'll stick with Earl just for continuity's sake. But he has, you know, I think he has to play better than he did last week. I'd go with Pearson in midfield. I'd still be tempted to play Daniel Johnson next to him. Superman. Paul Galley, there's got to be, you know, there's at some point there's got to be, you know, grounds for him to come back in. But no, I'd stick with DJ there. Probably Alan Brown ahead of him, although I think Brown, by his own admission, talking to him this week and by what we saw last week, didn't have his best game at Ipswich. But and it's interesting what he does up front, actually. So he'll definitely go with Callum Robinson. I'll stick with Barkays, and I'll probably stick with Maguire up front.
I think week to week, you're probably okay. If it had been a Tuesday nighter, he might have given him a breather.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still said today that Maguire is feeling his way back. Probably gathered, you know.
Yeah.
It was very direct first half. It wasn't easy for him. It's no coincidence when the game opened up late on. He became more and more involved, didn't he?
What's interesting, I think he went to Ipswich last week expecting a bit of a scrap and got one.
Bristol City
aren't that kind of side, are they? Much more building from the back. Lee Johnson likes to knock it around. So if Neil sees something in that he can sort of, you know, maybe use Maguire or prefers Nemecha instead of him, I don't know. So he said he took Nemecha out of the firing line last week just because it was going to be a bit more of a battle and he wanted a little bit more experience. I know Maguire's still relatively new to the English league, you know, but he's got a bit more know-how there. So, it just depends, you know, what he thinks Bristol City might offer, I think.
Stephen O'Halloran makes a good point. I don't mind this thinking. I'm going to say don't know to part this, Stephen. Can anyone tell me what type of keeper Crowe is? Is he a sweeper keeper like Maxwell or a stay-at-home keeper like Rudd? Therein lies the answer as to who plays for me on Saturday. Mm. By the way, Alex Neil thinking when it comes to the tactics he wants to play.
Go on.
He has never played a Football League game.
No, he's not, no.
He's played on loan at Braintree and, we looked at this,
Stevenage and somewhere else, but he didn't play for...
Didn't play for Stevenage, went on loan there and didn't play.
Played six for Braintree, four somewhere else, was
Woking?
It? Woking? Yeah, mate.
I'm just going to look this up, obviously, as I type. He's 6 foot a lot. He's
6 foot five.
6 foot five at least.
He's 22, he's 23 next week. He looks older, I'll give him that. He's a big fella, isn't he? So
he's a more, unlike Maxwell and Ruddy, he's your more conventional looking goalkeeper.
He's a big lad. Yeah.
It was Woking, yeah. So he never
I can't see him being a sweeper keeper myself. No. But I might be doing him a total disservice there.
So Ipswich, he did not play a game for in any competition, senior football. Played four games on loan at Woking in 2015.
Mm.
Went to Stevenage on loan later in 2015, didn't play a game for them. I imagine they had some kind of shortage and he went there for numbers.
Mm.
Braintree, the start of 2016, he played six games, but he has not played a senior game of football since.
No, he was on the bench for Ipswich quite a bit last season, I think, against one of the games against North End, he was on the bench. So, so the answer is we there's not a lot we know about him, is it?
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. But as an indication, everybody has a Wikipedia page. Yeah. Everybody has a Wikipedia page. And he does not.
He will. If he plays this weekend, they'll have one.
He does not. He's only... Yeah, I haven't got time for that. He's in this. I'm busy shaving this off. So his experience of first team football is in the National League. Conference in Old Money, for those of you on that. But as we said, it wouldn't be a massive surprise. The thing that keeps niggling me in the back of the mind is Neil just giving him credit, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But I would never rule anything out from when we got to Reading last season and we were sort of like, well, who's playing left back? And it was
Joshua.
Greg Cunningham's injured. Is it going to be Kevin O'Connor? Is it going to be somebody moved across? And then somebody threw Josh Earle at us, which was like, hang on a minute, you know. And then obviously he's never looked back. But
no.
Mm-hmm. there is that.
Yeah.
Alex Neil, if he thinks they're ready, he's not for us to come in.
No, he's not. We're not talking about a kid here. In the goalkeeper's terms, he's quite young.
I remember,
he's not a pup, is he? He's not 16 or 17.
I remember you making a point when he signed, because obviously, originally he signed, they needed another goalkeeper. Matt Hudson has gone to Bury, where he barely kicked a ball, which I don't think North End will be delighted about. So he sort of brought him in. Mm-hmm. He'd been called up by Wales,
which I think surprised
everybody, including him.
Yeah,
he went over to the China Cup with Chris Maxwell, but didn't play a game. Mm-hmm. But he has he has less Football League experience than Matt Hudson.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of it in those terms.
The same amount of Football League experience as you and me, which is
he has more football experience. Should make it clear. Yeah. So the game.
I think it's quite nice when you can debate something like this, because we're all guessing, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's just nice. It's nice to have a debate like this. I think it's
I think
it will be rud, but again, it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being.
Behind the scenes, you don't know how far he fell in those weeks in sort of either Neil's mind or his own mind. Yeah. You know, he did look so short of confidence when he was dropped. So short of confidence. Whether the thing he's built up, and whether you never know. Neil's always said with Rudd and Maxwell, he'd like a keeper in between.
Yeah.
Style wise.
Yeah.
Rudd is a bit more stay at home, good shot stopper, and Maxwell, as we saw on Saturday, can be just a bit too gung ho. He might look at Crowe and go, well, he collects the ball, he kicks well. He might be. He's 6'5", as we say, which the other boy.
If it was sort of Ipswich this week and he were going there for a battle, Crowe might be the ideal one, you know, the big guy to come and collect the ball.
I don't know, we shall see. Yeah. We shall see.
It might be Paul Gallagher gets a nod. Now that would be a curveball, wouldn't it?
Might be Paul Gallagher. Nice touch on Monday, wasn't it, when he turned up to work and he had a goalkeeper jersey ready for him.
Yeah, well done, Steve Cowell.
Before I ask you any predictions, fire them over. Bristol City, obviously, is the game in question. If you don't predict a win, you haven't looked at the history books.
Mm-hmm. Done really well. It's just, in football, you get some, you know, like, against some teams, you've just got a record where it goes for you or goes against you. And they've what unbeaten in 10? Unbeaten in 10 against Bristol City, won the last 8. So hopefully that status quo can be maintained.
Yeah, won the last 3 down there, 2-1.
They've won 4 on the bounce down there. Yeah, they won 1-0 in the promotion season. I think that was Bristol City's, I think it was only their second defeat of the season, first at home. Callum Robinson scored down there. And then, they've won the, you know, since they come up to the Championship, they've won the last 3 visits 2-1. So, had a change in Ashton Gate. Every time we go, they seem to have built a new stand or moved the press box into another one, haven't they? So
it's a good setup down there.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah.
Good setup down there. Good stadium. Spoke to Daniel Johnson today, mm-hmm. who is quite a fairly quiet speaker, and then his eyes lit up when we mentioned Bristol City.
Yeah, yeah.
We love playing down there, he said.
Yeah. And he scored down there. He scored down there
a couple of years ago in the... A game where Simon Mackinock scored.
Yeah, he put us in front.
Did the little dance.
Yeah. Always used to be, when we won down there as well, it was always used to be Aaron Wilbraham scored an equaliser against us and then we'd go on to get the second one, you know. It was a real pattern, very similar pattern to the games, yeah. So, fascinating. I always remember Greg Cunningham scoring the winner down there and diving header.
Yeah.
And went off to celebrate with the North End fans, then diverted to head towards Steve Cottrell. Who I don't think he got on with too well.
Who wasn't unhappy to see him.
Teammates jumped on him to sort of celebrate and stop him in his tracks.
Stop him getting some kind of FA ban.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you want to relive that game, that match is on our website.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Probably with a picture of Greg diving that header home. Of the old DJ's point basically was there's just a lot of connection to the inside. Mm-hmm. He said the Greg always used to get them going. You love going down there. Obviously, you're playing against his former club.
Mm-hmm.
Callum Robinson had a loan spell there. Looking back over his North End career, 150 games. Mm-hmm. I say if he plays, he'll play unless he's injured. Mm-hmm. 150 North End games for Callum Robinson on Saturday with loan spells and permanent move. In between all those 3 loan spells, we went to Bristol City and did very little.
I think he only started 3 games for him, I think.
One was in the cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Callum doesn't mind going there and showing what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we have Messrs Wright and Brownhill.
Yeah, yeah. And Bailey Wright's out injured, has been since April, so he won't play. But Josh Brownhill gone there and he's become more and more of an influence in their midfield. To the point he's like one of their main men now down there. So... Made his debut for North End as a 17-year-old, came through, did really well. dropped out of contention at North End when probably North End started to lean on a little bit more experience to try to get in, you know, get out of League One and into the Championship. And when they got into the Championship, he was sort of in and out. He went on loan to Barnsley, got to know Lee Johnson there. Johnson went to the Bristol City job, you know, a month or so after Brownlow had gone to Barnsley on loan. And then his contract ran out and he ended up following Johnson down to Bristol City. But it's a move which has turned out well for him, so...
Turned out okay for Bailey Wright. He's a good captain, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So, but... Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, he's got a long-term thigh injury. I think he had an operation on it over the summer. Missed out on the World Cup squad, not because of the injury, but I think, you know, that he... For some reason, he just overlooked, you know, when they named the squad.
There was a change of coach.
Change of coach, different. I think Bailey had played all the Australian qualifiers, got through to the World Cup, and then suddenly found himself out of the squad, which was a bit unfortunate. So, I think he had this injury, niggling injury. So they, you know, they got it operated on during the summer when really he should have been at the World Cup. So,
Dave, Ian has put your prediction in the comments, even though he's not said it. Your prediction is.
I'm going for a 1-0 win.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Ian went for another 2-1. The Dave 7-2-1, as it's known. Let me have a look. Dave Nelson 2-2, Darren Parkinson 3-3. Darren, with a suit, I don't think I can deal with that.
No.
At least it's not as far.
Yeah.
Well done to any North End fan who went to Ipswich and went through that diversion through Cheshire on the way back, by the way.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Middlewich.
It was nice. I believe the North End supporters coach got back even later than we did, even though it probably set off quite a bit before, and I think that showed how bad the traffic was at some point. So, yeah, 404 North End fans went down to Ipswich, but very, very good turnout.
It's a great effort for a team.
Considering how the season's been going and how the away form's been.
Stephen O'Halloran, Super Tommy Clark scoring again from a set piece.
Do me.
P&E win 5-0. Crikey.
Blimey. A pint of what he's on.
Yeah. Stephen, if you genuinely think that.
Ah, brilliant.
I would put a pound on it.
Yeah.
Because if it comes off, you'll be buying the beers. But yeah. What's the. Heading down there, what's the mood at the moment? Six unbeaten.
Mm hmm. Six unbeaten, still a little bit uncertain in that there's been four draws in there. So
it's a six game unbeaten run. They're only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. You know, it's
a decent unbeaten run without being absolute before, rather than pulling up any trees.
Yeah,
in it. If you think about the four draws they've had, the 3-3 draw at Villa was pretty good, wasn't it? You know, like exciting second half, especially 1-1 draws at Hull, Ipswich, Rotherham haven't been classics, have they? So, no, decent enough, but a lot of room for improvement, I'd say. But the mood was better than, say, it was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. Plenty of room for improvement. Let's hope that comes at Ashton Gate.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you are making the... If you made the trip to Ipswich and you're making the trip to Bristol City, you deserve a medal.
And probably be broke as well.
Serious miles, yeah. It's a long old trip, but...
Bristol City's like a local derby compared to going to Ipswich, isn't it? Yeah.
I think the North End fans heading down there know they are will probably have history on their side.
Yeah.
I've had a look at the past results and thought, I've enjoyed my trip down there before. Yeah. Maybe I'll go again.
And if you can find a car parking space around Ashton Gate, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you. If anybody gets there early, can you save us one? Because that is one of the...
Put a cone out or something.
Just put a picture of us down there. one of the less fun sort of things where you end up giving yourself half an hour or more to get there, because then you do sort of laps of the ground for half an hour. Long old trip, but heading into an international break. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week during the international break, but heading into an international break, 3 points would be sort of give them a spring in their step, wouldn't it?
Certainly would, yeah. It just gives you that little bit of enthusiasm, you know, and then thankfully this is the end of the international breaks until the spring, isn't it? So after this, we've got three or four months worth
solid.
Of solid football, yeah. We've got
solid football.
Really important spell coming up after the internationals to sort of build some momentum. Lots of points, you know, lots of games, lots of points to be had. So, big spell. Yeah, we'll be crying out for the March international break, won't we? I think there's one, isn't there? I think there's one.
I hope so.
Before
Easter.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning as ever. And we shall see those of you that are down there at Bristol City.